Good morning, everyone. We are so excited to see you here at Real Life Christian Church. Let me draw your attention to our exciting announcements for this week.
Ladies, we are so excited to announce our next adventure, Girls Time Out. On June the 29th, we will meet at Monsters Mini Golf in Kennesaw at 12 p.m. Monsters wear clothing or materials that are white, fluorescent, or neon, and it will glow in the black light. There's no need to sign up, but if you would like to talk to someone on the GTO committee, you could talk to Leslie, Brandy Kelly, Laurel Ashby, Teresa Meehan, Kathy Miller.
Come hang out with Kenny in an open art studio Wednesdays from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall. You can bring the art supplies of your choice or Kenny
Lynn here on June 29th from 10 to 2. This event is free to the public and a $10 donation for participants. Let the community know we are a community-driven church and that we are here to help them break free from the chains that are holding them back. Please sign up before or after church in the vestibule. We'd love to have you participate.
One, two, vamp, two, three, four.
Day you've given us, even though it's hot, and thank you for our fathers, because it is Father's Day, and we want to take this day to appreciate them. So thank you for everything that you've had them do, and just thank you for giving us our fathers in the first place. So just be with us today as we lift up your name in worship, as we celebrate our Heavenly Father today as well. Mm-hmm. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
One, two. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Love in the dress of light and you tell that you're pleased and that I never alone. First ever Father's Day was celebrated on June 19, 1910 in Washington State by Sonora Smart Dodd, although it wasn't named a national holiday until President Nixon signed it in 1972. In the 1920s, neckties were a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him, Psalm 127:3. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Today, as we've set aside this day to honor our earthly fathers, we enter into this building every week, and we come to this table to honor our Heavenly Father's promise, His promise of the eternal life through the sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins, the obedience that Jesus showed His Father, regardless of the circumstances, to fulfill God's will. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for showing us what it means to be a provider, for showing us what it means to sacrifice. We are humbled and grateful that you love us so much that you sent your only Son as the sacrifice for our imperfections, for our sins, so that we may be made new and spend a lifetime of eternity in heaven with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
this time of offering. We have many ways that you can participate in this form of worship, and shortly you will see them on the screen. Take a moment and look at those. There are many ways that you can participate. And if you would, please join me in prayer. Dear Father God, we come to you at this moment to praise you and honor you as you have instructed us to do so through this worship, by giving back sacrificially a portion of what you have so graciously blessed us with.
Everybody's having a happy Father's Day. You will when you leave here and you get lunch, right? Everybody's ready for that. Now, I know that, you know, I don't preach Father's Day direction, and today we're going to start that direction with our if-then series we're going to start. If-then. Now, you're thinking, what is this about? And it's going to be 4 weeks, and it's going to be on the premise of an if-then conditional statement. This concept is fundamental in both computer programming and logical reasoning. And its origins can be traced back to Greek philosophy, specifically the work of a philosopher you might have heard of. For example, all humans are mortal. So Socrates is human, therefore Socrates is mortal. And then the statement can be translated into an if-then statement as follows. If someone is human, then they are mortal. Socrates is human, therefore he is mortal. Now, if you're following me now, you're thinking, did I come for class or did I come for church? Both. Both. Right. Now, you may be familiar with this if you've been in classes. It's a principle at work in the Bible. And we see it often. But today we're going to look into John 14. And we're going to learn from this. If you really know Jesus, then you know some pretty incredible truths about salvation, God the Father, and living an empowered life. Really knowing Jesus is really knowing life. I mean, let's just say, if you know Jesus, then you know life. That's growing up. I had a very special friend, and he was my best friend, and we were almost inseparable, and his name was Stephen LeBrec. Stephen and I, we were basically brothers, even though we weren't. Most 6 out of 7 nights we were sleeping in the same house. We were that close. But because we had that close of a relationship, Stephen knows things about me that nobody else knows. He knows me in ways that nobody else does. Well, except for Leslie, of course, of my life. And in a similar vein, it's one thing to know about Jesus. The facts and figures of his life and his names of his siblings and how many disciples he was and how old he was. And it's a whole different thing to have a relationship with Jesus. A mutually beneficial and encouraging relationship takes time, and it takes effort to develop, to cultivate. It takes years. The truth is that in our human relationships, it's that way. If you know Jesus, then you know some pretty incredible things, some pretty incredible truths about salvation, about our Father in heaven, and about this thing we talk about called a kingdom. So we're going to start with John 14. We're going to go through the first five verses. And I'm going to venture to say that if you know Jesus, then you know life. Because Jesus starts this out. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms." And if and then in walks Thomas. And he says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Oh, Thomas. Poor Thomas. I dare say we all got a little Thomas in us too, don't we? But let's move on here to say where he starts this passage. Let's go all the way back to the beginning where Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Any of you have troubled hearts? The disciples troubled. And why is Jesus addressing it? The disciples were likely troubled because Jesus had told them that he was going away. And they couldn't follow him at that time. Now why would that trouble them? Well, I'll tell you why. Because for the last 3 years, he's taken care of them. I mean, you got to think about it. They've relied on him for their food. I mean, this guy has just fed 5,000 people with a few fish and a little bit of bread. I wouldn't want their careers, their jobs, their families, their hometowns, and they've been following Jesus all the way around. They come to believe that he was the Messiah, and now he's going to leave. So Jesus addresses the disciples' troubled hearts by reassuring them that he's going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. And he will come back and get them so they can be with him. Now that's to reassure, isn't it? But then there's Thomas. Thomas says, "I don't understand of this impending departure." He wants them to know that he has a plan for them and they can trust him to take care of them even if he's not physically present with them. And the entire exchange says, here comes Thomas says, "I don't know where you're going. How am I going to know how to get there?" Well, Jesus answers in verse 6, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can enter the Father except him. Jesus is the only way. The truth, this truth, continues to be difficult in the world we live in, doesn't it? We live in a world that wants to think there's 1,000 paths to get to heaven. That you can get there however you feel like you need to get there. And I understand why they want to feel like that. I mean, I can understand. I mean, we all want to think that everybody's going to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to perish, do you? Well, maybe. That this isn't only Jesus' idea. It's the Father's as well. And the truth is, we gotta believe that this is the truth, don't we? Do you believe this is the Word of God? And we can't take John 14:6 out of there, can we? Pretend like it's not there. We either say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you can only go to heaven through him, or you might as well just throw this thing away. The world wants to believe. He says, "Show us the Father." Now, I mean, really, Jesus tells them that if they really know him, they'll know the Father, and they are the one. And we'll understand that, and then here comes Philip right after Thomas. We don't talk about Philip very often, do we? But Philip comes in and says, "Show us the Father, that'll be enough for us. Just show us God." And then Jesus answers. He says, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." And he says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." Now, what's he talking about in works? Think about what they have witnessed, all the way from the water being turned into wine, the blind being able to see, the lame being able to walk, the feeding of the... Can't you imagine that hurt Jesus' feelings just a little? The human side of him's going, I ought to sock you, you know. Kind of like your kids. You told them to empty the dishwasher 10 times, and you come home and they got all of it but the silverware. You ever done that? Well, I got most of it. Well, no, Jesus, with Jesus, you got to get it all. You got to believe that Jesus reveals the Father. It's through Jesus that we understand interaction. We even learn the words of Jesus. They come from the Father. The very words he's speaking comes from God. And to know Jesus is to know the Father, because through Jesus we get to hear from God. We get to see what he is like. We get to see how he would respond in situations that come up in life. We see the evidence of the connection through the works that Christ does and the way he acts and the way he ministers. Knowing Jesus means understanding that he is the perfect representation of God on earth. We listen to his commandments, and if you know Jesus, then you know the Father. It's so intertwined. But that's not all there is to it. There's also something amazing and powerful about knowing Jesus. And we see that in verses 12 through 14, where he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." But we have to address the hard stuff, don't we? We can't just skip over it because we don't understand it. Jesus tells the disciple they'll do even greater works than he did, because he's going to the Father on their behalf. Now think about this for a minute. Jesus is interceding. He is advocating and petitioning over the request that you speak in his name. That's why it's important that we praise his name. Because when you pray in his name, he goes to the Father for you and advocates for to do this for this person. And I think you should consider it, because I died for him. I suffered on the cross for him. To me, that's so powerful. But one thing we have to understand is that we can't come to him with something that is contrary to what Jesus would want. You can't go in and ask for something that is against his will. It doesn't work that way. Because he will go and you'll get the big fat. Sometimes there's power in not getting what you want. Sometimes the best answer we've ever received is no. And the truth is, we have an incredible power, and God gives us an empowering life to live. And this can radically transform your prayer life. Tony Evans said this: "The power of prayer is not in the words we say or the formula we follow, but in the work in the world to spread his message of love and salvation to others." In a world where there's so much darkness and despair, isn't it? I mean, this world is so dark. Let's just be honest. You know, I told you last week, 11 kids were missing, and now there's more. It's sad. We live in this dark world. It's so sad that when it came to buying graduate gifts, every female graduate that Leslie and I know, we bought them pepper spray to follow Jesus and to be a light into this dark world. And when we approach him, we come to him with our own darkness and despair, we can light others through our faith in Jesus, through our actions of love, and be something different that the world doesn't normally get to see. We can intercede and pray and ask for miracles because we share our request through Jesus to the Almighty God. Of course, we need to be careful with this amazing power. We need to stay humble. We will not receive what we ask for. We have an incredible kingdom power in Christ. We can know the Father through Jesus. We can experience eternal life because Jesus is the way. And I'm going to say that if you know Jesus, then you know life, and you know full life, abundant life in Christ. Not rich. Nowhere does it say in the Bible you're going to have a rich life. The world says you should go out and do whatever you want to do because that's how you feel. Doesn't it? Let's just face it. I mean, every commercial is about a big party, isn't it? But here's what I have found to be true. Even those people who don't follow Jesus, who go out and live that life, wake up the next day with regret. They wake up the next day going, I wish I hadn't done that. They live with that. Everything that takes away from the fullness and the goodness that God has for me is because I've been selfish. It's because I've chosen to do what I want to do, not what He wanted out of me. I might not have the most money, and I may not drive a new car, and you may not find me at the latest and greatest party. But my life is full of joy and happiness, knowing that I'm going to heaven, and because I follow Jesus. There are times when I turn the TV off after watching a show and I say, Jesus, because we have this incredible power. We can experience eternal life because of this Jesus and His way. Because if you know Jesus, you know life and you know abundant life. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So as we wrap up today, I think it's worth recognizing that even those early disciples, they walked daily with Jesus. They had their questions. There are people here today who are troubled. And let's remember Jesus' opening words, do not let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because He's taking care of you for eternity. Because He's taking care of it on your behalf, on my behalf, and for His church. He's taking care of it. And isn't that good news? He's preparing a place. He is the only way. And He knows the Father, and they are one. And yes, we're going to do even greater things than He did because He's interceding on their behalf. And yes, what do you think it's going to be like in heaven? I said, well, I don't care. What did He? I can clean the toilets in heaven as long as I'm there. There's going to be golf courses and pizza and hot wings. And, you know, we can say whatever we want to. Can't we? We can say whatever we want to. But the truth is, when we get to heaven, it won't matter anymore because we won't care. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, with that in mind, the call today is to truly be different than everybody else. That there's more joy in your life. We are called to share the love and the gospel with everyone you can, to model your life after Christ's life according to His commandments. That's the goal. Because eternity is right around the corner. Do you know that? Eternity is right around the corner. This life we live here is so short. And if you've ever had kids, you know what I'm talking about. You have them. They go to kindergarten. Life is short. Live for Jesus now while you can. Make a difference in this world while you have the power to do so. Because eternity is just right on the corner. And if you know Jesus, then you know life. And life is worth living for eternity, isn't it? Because let me let you in on a little secret. There's going to be an eternity one way or another. There is going to be eternity either in heaven or in hell. It's going to be one or the other. Eternity. It's scary, isn't it? It's scary to think that eternity is that close. Now I'm gonna close here in just a minute. And we're gonna sing the invitation. But when we sing this invitation, it is not just about getting up and singing a song. It's not about throwing our hands up and worshiping for 5 minutes. It's about eternity. It has to begin somewhere. It's no different than when I met my wife when she was working at McDonald's, and I said, I'm going to keep asking her out till she says yes. But it had to start there. It had to start right there. You have to start that relationship with Jesus before it'll ever develop and grow. And if you haven't started that relationship, you can come forward, confess Him as Lord today, and be baptized. And today, let's just throw our hands up and say, Lord, thank You for loving me enough to hear my prayers and for saving my soul. Just give it to Him. Whatever decision you got to make, don't wait. Because eternity is too important to wait. Make that decision as we stand and sing.
When the head gets deep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I remind myself of all that You've done. I have because of Your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. When my heart is filled with hope and every promise comes my way, when I feel Your hands of grace rest upon me, being desperate for You, God, staying humbled at Your feet. I will lift these hands and praise. I will believe.
So we have a baptism today. So this is Chad, and I accept him.
And I accept him
as my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah. So Charles is going to be baptized by his aunt, yeah. Brandy, and We were talking about who was going to baptize him, and he was afraid to let his mama baptize him because she might hold him under too long. So, but this, Charles, he made this decision at camp. So you think about, you know, the things like the yard stuff. That
1, 2, 3, 4.
Streams of abundance flow.
choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Isn't that awesome? I love it. That's the reason I didn't have to get in there. But hey, listen, guys, that's what it's about. Now that Charles has made that commitment, it's up to us to come around and surround him and help him in his walk and in his growth and encourage him and the family. Because now's when the hard work begins. So let's just keep loving and let's keep doing
it. Your flock, just another one that comes and gives their life to you. It's always just one more. If we can always just do one more, that's a good day. So thank you so much for that. Please be with us this week as we go about our lives and we go out into the world and be the church for you. And also, again, just thank you for our fathers and be with us as we make this day about them. So thank you for everything in your name. Amen.